Okay, joining us right now, we were just discussing how the smaller cities and towns in Illinois are handling this, and here's a man who represents one of the towns I was just talking about. He represents part of Rockford and also a lot of the farming community up and down I-39 here in Illinois, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. And Congressman, one of the things that just came out of this press conference with the governor, and we should talk about this because this affects Illinois pretty significantly, and when this whole thing started, you and I talked about this on the air. Smaller hospital systems really are the ones that are could be taxed in a really dangerous, tragic way here if they're not taken care of. The big cities where there are thousands upon thousands of hospital beds and over 1,000 intensive care beds and ventilators and all that in Chicago, that's one thing. But in Rockford right now, Rockford is where the city of Chicago, let me give you a comparison, 25% of their ventilators are to COVID-19 patients. Right now in Rockford, it's over 70% of the ventilators are to COVID-19 patients. That's pretty scary if that continues. And then some of these local mayors decide, hey, you know what? We don't need to have the social distancing anymore. We need to open up these businesses. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, look, I agree. And, I think it's mixed because on the one hand, an outbreak in a rural community is a significant, huge problem because of what we said, capacity. On the other hand, rural communities, by nature, generally, there's a lot more social distancing because there's less houses, people live far apart. And so I think it's kind of a middle ground of, I think on the one hand, the governor, after May 1st or whatever, should look at Illinois regionally and say, for instance, the city of Chicago may have to have different sets of rules than, say, Watsika, Illinois, or Rockford, or something like that. But at the same time, if they're, in those small communities, people are gathering close together, that's a problem. So I don't really have the answer, except, if there's an outbreak, as you mentioned, in a county that has maybe one small hospital, it's a huge problem. And people need to be aware of that. But I don't know how long we can go down the road of, because the city of Chicago has a lot of dense population and close proximity, we have to treat people in every small town the same way. And so, like I said, we've never been here before, so I'm not blaming anybody or saying anybody's doing it wrong, but I think we have to kind of take it day by day and have a rolling approach to how we handle it.
Have you talked to the governor about this?
No. I mean, I've been on, his conference calls but no, he's probably got plenty going on too. But I think, after May 1st, I mean, I'm happy to talk to the governor about it, but I think after May 1st, it's the position we need to go to. And again, I think the American people and the population has got to understand that, okay, let's say some restrictions are loosened up in some areas at a certain day. There could easily be another day when that has to be re-implemented. We have to be flexible. Because, again, we've never seen anything like this. We don't know how this virus behaves. We really don't know anything about it. And so, that's where we are.
What are you hearing most from your constituents right now?
Well, a lot of concern, obviously, with the virus. I mean, and I think that is, I don't know if it's followed by or if it follows a concern for the economy. I mean, I represent a lot of rural area. The ag community is getting just crushed. I mean, you think about, oil futures, the May futures today going to negative $40 a barrel, which we've never seen in history. And so you think about, ethanol. What does ethanol do? Well, ethanol with no oil consumption, ethanol has kind of really helped the ag community. You think about, the future, whatever the relationship with China is going to look like. China buys a lot of agricultural products. There's a lot of fright. And I understand. I mean, it's a scary time.
Yeah. Do you say to those businesses, obviously you've got CEOs from those ag businesses that are calling your office, they want to know, when they're going to be able to, first of all, avail themselves of some of this money that's available. That's a little bit of an issue here. We have consistently at the end of last week had heard from small business operators in our listening area who were very concerned because they couldn't get to those PPP loans. They couldn't get to their banks, weren't able to find the loans. Even if they had a relationship with the bank, they couldn't find the loans for them. If they, God forbid, did not have a relationship with the bank, the banks were saying no to them. What are you hearing from your constituents, Congressman Kinzinger?
Yeah, the exact same thing. I mean, if you're a big company that was eligible for these loans, and you have a good relationship with a big bank, you get put in the front because they can get you in quicker. And so I think in this new round of, you know, we ran out of money quick, this new round that I think, look, I'm not a blame caster in this, but the Democrats have got to kind of quit the holding back of this. Should have been done 2 weeks ago. Okay, that's all I'm going to say on that. But we have to protect small
businesses. I just want to understand the holding back of the second wave of this.
Yeah. Two weeks ago, we tried to put another like $300 billion in this, and it was held up for other things. And so, you know, we'll come to a conclusion here. We'll get it. But I think there has to be protection for small business access to this as well. And, you know, I mean, look, to the credit of the bureaucrats that roll this out, it usually takes a year to roll a program like this out, right? We did it in 2 weeks, so there's going to be some hiccups. But we can't really afford to have a lot of hiccups at this moment.
Right. I think that's everybody is freaked out. What is your sense? Everybody asks this every day to anybody who they hope has an answer. What is your sense about the trajectory of this? Do you think, and let's talk about Illinois here. Let's talk about Chicago and the rest of Illinois. For people who are in deep suburbs, exurbs of Chicago, the people that you represent, south of Joliet, and then around, you know, out west near 39, and then up into Rockford. That's the big crescent of your district right there. Do you think that the economy is going to start coming back for them? What are your greatest concerns about when once we do start to open up the economy, their experience is going to be?
Well, I think we're going to see the economy come back. It's going to take a while, I think. I don't think it's going to be extremely quick. I worry about the huge national debt. $30 trillion is what we'll probably have when this is over. And, you know, from the virus perspective, you know, I think we're going to end up seeing that it's a lot less lethal than we think, but a lot more contagious than we ever thought. So I don't know what the answer to that is. And, you know, we'll find out obviously soon if we're producing antibodies and if this is like the cold that you know, mutates a lot, or if this is something that we can stay permanently, you know, immune to. But I think, look, we're America. We've been through these kinds, not this thing, but we've been through tough challenges. We'll get through it. We're in a better position than any other country in the world, but it is going to be one heck of a challenge that none of us imagined, you know, 6 months ago.
Oh, right. That's for sure. Now let's talk about some of the heroes here that you're seeing in your district or you're looking at and that you're coming across. And we all know about the frontline folks. We all know about the hospital workers and the EMTs and paramedics and police officers. Everybody's got to be out there and doing their jobs, as well as the truck drivers, the people working at the grocery store, the people working at the Walmart, the people who are making sure that the shelves are stocked and we don't have a panic as a result of that. Because imagine that, Congressman Kinzinger.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would be like if people were walking into empty store shelves like you'd have, you know, in a hurricane situation or in some third world countries. Who are the people that you're looking at right now, or the stories that you've heard that really, you know, give you that sense of pride in America and pride in Illinois?
Well, it's the people that have spent their energy not watching television and blaming people for this, because it's nobody's fault when it's a virus. It's the people like Whiskey Acres, who you had on your show, that made the decision, we're going to do hand sanitizer. You know, it's the people making masks. It's, you know, a restaurant in Love's Park that decided to start delivering food to frontline responders. It's the people that are, you know, even doing little things like going on Instagram and making videos to make people laugh, right? It's people that have invested their energy in hope and not in division. I mean, you can go on Facebook and all this stuff and see everybody. I mean, I can post something and everybody's going to tell me I'm wrong, or people are going to tell me I'm right, and they're going to attack the people that told me I'm wrong. I mean, we're wasting our energy on that, and there are some people, and I think it's a lot more than get attention. Those are the heroes, the ones that are investing their energy in hope and helping. It's the helpers, like Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers.
Wow. Never thought I'd hear you quoting that. What do you make, and to that point, what do you make of the protesters who, you know, we're not seeing quite as many in Illinois, but apparently there is a planned protest for the state of Illinois later this week, but you've seen them in Michigan, you've seen them in Virginia and other places. What would you say to those protesters who were, you know, saying that their freedoms are being usurped here?
I think it's dumb. I mean, look, you ever write the protest? I'm not against protesting, you know, if you maintain your distance and follow the rules. But this idea, and I kind of knew when this started that this type of thing was going to morph, that this is a, you know, deep state conspiracy, or that, you know, this is just control. It's not true. Okay. None of us know anything about this virus. We're doing the best we can to save lives. I'm in a party that has always said, you know, we are for, you know, life, right? We're all for that. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to preserve life. So if you're going to protest, great, that's fine. But don't jam together in big crowds, because this virus is not a hoax. It's not fake. It's real. And if you're jamming together in big crowds just to show you can, you're going to get people sick and you're going to restart this whole thing. So that's what I'd say.
All right. It's interesting story today that three of these protests are actually started by three brothers who have a gun rights group. It's sort of, you know, it's not the NRA or anything like that, but it's like a smaller, you know, more politically active in terms of like social media, politically active kind of group. And they're the ones responsible for the vast majority of these three guys, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, when you stop and you look at this from 20,000 feet and you look back down, you go, oh, maybe this isn't really, you know, this is not as much a grassroots effort as possible. Because social media is where these things start and begin. And, you know, people get all amped up, and they come from maybe communities that aren't even close to the community that they're going into to try to protest. So we'll just have to see. I'm with you. I think everybody needs to take a breath, relax, and we'll get through this one step at a time. All the answers are not apparent every day. We don't know what tomorrow brings, and that's the thing. We just want to make sure that we hope that all the mitigation we have done will actually bring fewer numbers each day as we move through this.
Just love your family. Take that time. Love your family. Thanks, Ro.
Thank you.